Welcome to episode 175 of George's Random Astronomical Object. 175 is also the original price of the Marvel comic book Avengers Annual 17, published in 1988, which I actually own and which I read before recording this episode. It was the ending to a crossover event called the Evolutionary War. And while I think the overarching storyline throughout the various comic books was a mixed bag, I liked the conclusion of the storyline in the Avengers Annual comic book. Anyway, back to introducing my podcast. Every episode, I run a random number generator to select random astronomical coordinates in the sky, and I then search for an astronomical object near those coordinates and talk about what makes that object so interesting to astronomers. Now let's run the random number generator.
Burritos are real.
This episode's coordinates are 23 hours, 34 minutes, 0 seconds right ascension, and plus 72 degrees, 0 minutes, 0 seconds declination. These coordinates point to the Cepheus flare, which I could also call the Cepheus flare, but I'm going to go with the pronunciation Cepheus. As you can tell by the name, the Cepheus flare is located in the constellation Cepheus. If you expected it to be in a different constellation like Ophiuchus, you're thinking too hard about the object. If you thought I might joke about the Cepheus flare being in the constellation Ophiuchus, well, you're wrong. I was originally going to joke about it being in the constellation Leo instead. Anyway, the term flare, in the name Cepheus flare, might be slightly misleading. This was not a short, brief flash of light. Well, actually a few brief flashes of light were involved in the formation of the Cepheus flare, but those flashes of light don't have anything to do with the name, and I'll get to them later. Anyway, the Cepheus flare actually contains a lot of clouds of interstellar gas and dust located at distances between 1076 and 1200 light-years, or 330 to 368 parsecs, and most of these clouds appear somewhat dark. At least in the visible part of the electromagnetic spectrum. This complex of interstellar gas and dust spans a region of somewhere between 10 and 20 degrees on the sky. For context, the part of the sky that is visible above the horizon at any time is 180 degrees from one horizon through the zenith to the other horizon, so the Cepheus flare would occupy up to 1/9 of that distance. The Cepheus flare received its name because it extends upwards, or flares, outwards from the plane of the galaxy. The object was actually given this name by Edwin Hubble in a paper in 1934, where he was performing an analysis of the locations of all the galaxies, or as he called them back then, quote, extragalactic nebulae, unquote, in the sky. Hubble had ascertained that it was virtually impossible to see galaxies in the plane of the Milky Way because they were obscured by clouds within our own galaxy. Although he did not seem to know, or at least he did not seem to explicitly state, that those gas clouds contained interstellar dust, which was responsible for obscuring those galaxies. Hubble also identified some regions outside the plane of our galaxy where other galaxies were also obscured, and he called these regions flares. The Cepheus flare is one of these regions. Although Edwin Hubble did a lot of groundbreaking work, our understanding of the universe has advanced significantly since he published his 1934 paper. Most notably, we have been able to observe the Cepheus flare across the entire electromagnetic spectrum, and this has revealed the detailed structure of the object. As I mentioned before, the Cepheus flare is made up of interstellar gas and dust. The gas was only imaged at radio wavelengths for the first time in 1967. While the presence of the dust could be inferred by how it absorbed light from behind the Cepheus flare, it was only imaged at infrared wavelengths for the first time in the 1980s by the Infrared Astronomical Satellite. These and subsequent observations have shown that the Cepheus flare can be divided into five smaller clouds, four of which have names starting with L that I'm not going to read out because they will just sound like random numbers. The fifth cloud is associated with nebula NGC 7023, which is a location where light from a bright blue star in front of the cloud is reflecting off the interstellar dust behind it. Aside from this interstellar gas and dust, the Cepheus flare is also known to be a location where stars are forming. In fact, the various clouds within the Cepheus flare are at the stage where the gas has gravitationally collapsed to form objects called dense cores that are really just cold compressed balls of gas and dust that are on the threshold of collapsing further to form individual stars. A few of these objects in the Cepheus flare have indeed collapsed inwards even more to form what could be described as protostars because the objects have begun to emit light, although fusion is not yet taking place within the centers of these objects. Given the abundance of dense cores and protostars within the Cepheus flare, it has been a popular place for astronomers to observe how this phase of star formation is taking place. However, what I personally find really exciting about the Cepheus flare is that it is an example of how several supernovae explosions within our galaxy can trigger the formation of stars. At first, this might not sound intuitive because explosions in space are supposed to destroy things. Just look at, for example, what happened in J.J. Abrams' version of Star Trek. However, most planets and stars in the vicinity of supernovae are unlikely to be destroyed by the explosions, but supernova explosions will ionize and blow away the surrounding interstellar gas. This stops the formation of stars near the supernovae, which actually makes sense. But gas on the outside of the shockwaves created by the supernovae will be compressed, and when interstellar gas gets compressed, it forms stars. This is the process that we are seeing taking place in the Cepheus flare. At several different times, millions of years in the past, supernovae would have formed in the center of the object, pushing the gas outwards to form bubble-like structures of compressed gas. NGC 7023 and the various other gas clouds with names beginning with L have formed on the outside of these bubbles, and stars are now forming within those clouds. I primarily study interstellar dust and star formation in other galaxies, and this is something that I have seen happening in other galaxies. I find it really exciting to actually know about an example in our galaxy where this is actually happening, and I hope to see more science results come out about the stars forming in this region, as well as more models describing the details of how supernovae explosions have shaped the Cepheus flare. The location on the Earth's surface corresponding to the position of the Cepheus flare, in the sky, is a large area of the Arctic Ocean centered on a place about 105 kilometers northeast of Yan Mian Island. This is a remote volcanic island north of Iceland and east of Greenland that is largely uninhabited and has no real natural resources. However, given the weird geopolitical climate these days, I would not be surprised if the United States discusses annexing the island at some point. The website for this podcast, which has not yet been annexed by the United States, is www.randomastronomicalobject.com, which you can visit to read information about the astronomical objects, view images of those astronomical objects, look up additional reference information, and send me random feedback. The audio was recorded and edited by George Bendo. The music is Immersion by Sasha Endy, and the sound effects are from the Freesound Project at www.freesounds.org. Thanks for listening.